Well, I'm excited for today. Today's a wonderful day. And who loves the Christmas season? Christmas season. If anybody's wondering what my name is, I got it embroidered on my shirt. It's my name badge, my name tag. Well, so we've entered the month of December. Some people are, oh, yes, the month of December. Well, I want to encourage you. The month of December, this is part of it. It's a month of ascent. It's a month of pilgrimage. It's a month of anticipation, a month of anticipation of the promise of Jesus. I want to ask you to just refocus and relook at the way you look at December. My message is called Adventus. Not Juventus, Adventus. It's this word, it's actually a Latin word. And you may be familiar with the word Advent. That's the word that we use now, the English word. But it's all focused on the word coming or arrival. And it's focusing on the arrival, the imminent arrival of Jesus. And when we talk about Advent, we're talking about a season of preparation and anticipation for Christ's birth. You know, I don't want you to get to Christmas Day and go, oh, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Now today, let's refocus what we're looking at this month and for the end of this year. You know, it could be perceived as that word Advent. It could be perceived as simply waiting. No, we're not simply waiting. It's more. It's a spiritual journey of waiting and reflection and spiritual inclination towards God's love that was sent on Christmas Day. See, our part, we have a part to play in preparation. It's the preparation of our hearts. It's the preparation of our minds. It's a preparation for celebration. And it's all about Jesus. You know, we're focused on, as a church, as individuals, we need to be focused on the promise of God's love, the hope, the peace, the joy that are wrapped up in the promise. Who's that promise? Jesus. Jesus is that promise. And so for those following along this morning, when we talk about preparation, there's a spiritual preparation that God calls us to as we come in towards the end of this year for Christmas. You know, this is spiritual preparation. It's a time for Christians to prepare for the coming of Jesus. And this can involve prayer. It can involve reflection. Spiritual renewal, whatever God leads you into in this season of spiritual preparation and reflection towards Christmas, I want to invite you to step into that. Maybe you haven't done this before. I want to invite you to step into getting yourself ready for the coming of Christ. So the other thing that we are called to do is we're called to have anticipation in the waiting, not just simply waiting, anticipation in the waiting. You know, this season is a time of waiting. It's symbolizing the waiting for the birth of Jesus, but it builds on anticipation of this event. I want to encourage you, how do we build the anticipation of this waiting time? We focus on the prophetic promises in the Word of God. I'll let you know what I'm talking about in a second when I talk about the prophetic promises in the Word of God. But they were fulfilled through Christ. Those prophetic promises fulfilled through Christ. This is our ascent time. We prepare our hearts and our minds. Amen. It's an amazing time of year, but I want to encourage you. May we never, ever get caught up in the motions of a festive season. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can go from Christmas party to Christmas party. Geez, there's not enough tinsel here. Oh, I can't believe they didn't put the Star of David on the tree. Let's not get caught up in the festive motions of a season. It is so much more than just going through some practices and traditions. See, when traditions are activated, it can be really easy for those traditions to take on the meaning of the season. Now, is there anything wrong with these traditions? There is nothing wrong with the traditions. But when they take the full focus of the season, we've lost our way. That's why we just need to bring ourselves back. This is a season of ascent, a season of looking towards with anticipation about what God wants to do in our hearts, what God wants to do in the hearts of the people in our city, of our family members, amen. So for example, when Christmas begins to be more about gathering for family, now is gathering for family bad? Of course not. Gathering for family is awesome. But when Christmas becomes more about gathering for family, when Christmas becomes more about turkey, when Christmas becomes more about prawns, when Christmas becomes more about... Did I hear someone go, ooh? Ooh. We'll have prayer at the end of the service. When Christmas becomes more about gift-giving, now, are those things bad? Apparently, according to someone, prawns are bad. But are those things bad in and of themselves? No, of course they're not. But in their right place, they're good. But they can never take authority over the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Adventus, we are ready for the coming of the King, the coming of baby Jesus. And I want to put it as simple as this today. Jesus is not a tradition. Let me say it one more time. Jesus is not a tradition. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get a tradition about anything, get a tradition that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a tradition that we just go through the motions at Easter and Christmas. No, absolutely not. We acknowledge that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Parents, if you're in the room or you're watching online, I want to encourage you. Hype up Jesus to your kids at Christmas. Hype up Jesus to your kids at Christmas. You know, it could be really easy to make it about Santa. It could be really easy to make it about carols. It could be really easy to make it about the gifts that are under the tree. It could be really easy to use it as a way to teach your children patience and waiting to get to the gifts of the tree. How about the focus is on Jesus? All those other things, they're traditions. But Jesus, hype Jesus up to your kids at Christmas. May your focus on Jesus far exceed your focus on family traditions. Now, not for a moment am I coming to you today, I'm like, let's pull down the family traditions. I'm not saying pull them down, but they may need to be tempered. They may need to be tempered because Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, sent by God the Father to redeem us and sanctify us of our sin, amen. I'm not saying don't have a good time on Christmas Day. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let Jesus be the focus. May it far exceed anything that we focus on at Christmas time. Now, parents, if you want your children to value the ways of Jesus, they need to hear about it. Don't leave it up to the kids' church. Don't leave it up to the youth ministry. It starts with us as parents, amen? I can say it strongly because I'm a parent too. It starts and ends with us. It's nobody else's job. We can't outsource it. There's no company in India or the Philippines that's going to take care of that for you. It's us as parents that are called to raise our children in the ways of Jesus. If you want them to stay and not stray, what you sow will either reap reward or be contention. I want to encourage you, parents, now's your moment to stand up. If you want them to stay and not stray, now's your moment to stand up. Teach the ways of Jesus at Christmas time and all throughout the year. Let your reward be your children giving their life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let your reward be your children passing it on to the next generation. Their reward is also your reward. Anyone got some older kids who are following Jesus? Their reward is your reward, amen. You know it. You know it as a parent when they're following Jesus. Now, may we be found this Christmas in the life abundant that we've found in Christ. And may we be reminded of His prophetic promises that are from generation to generation. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, around 700 years ago, 700 years before the birth of Christ, this scripture, this prophetic utterance is spoken out and written down. 700 or more years before the birth of Jesus Christ, this was written. See, God releases this prophetic word into the earth. Oh, think about it like this. It's a 700-year Advent season, people. 700 years of Advent. Let's keep hopeful for 700 years. We got 1 month of anticipative hope. 700 years of God's promise to always be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. The promise of a virgin giving birth to a son. So when we anticipate the coming of Christ's birth, we're leaning in to celebrate the prophetic promise that was fulfilled. The birth of Christ represents the greatest gift, the greatest promise ever given to mankind. And when we've been Christians for a while, we can get a little bit familiar with that. We can't get familiar with it. When we get familiar, it just becomes a story. When we're not familiar, it's a testimony, amen. It's a testimony. We anticipate the heralded message. Luke 2:10-11 says this. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." I want to encourage you. This message resounds from generation to generation to generation. On that day, the prophetic promise, the prophetic utterance was fulfilled. God did what he said he would do. Why does God do that? Because he's God and he never backs down on his promises. He is faithfuler than true. I'm sure there's multiple people in this place who can go, yeah, God's true to his promise. He's come through for me and my family. He's come through for us and our church. See, because of Jesus' birth, this Christmas season represents a season of great joy. You know, if you're busy this Christmas month, anyone not busy? Let's swap places. If you're busy, if you're nonchalant, if you're fearful, if you're indifferent, if you're tired, if you're holding on just to get to Christmas, this is my encouragement for you today. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. The promise of Jesus is upon us this month. Come on, all those things are real, but let's snap out of it. Let's orientate ourselves towards, with faith-filled hearts, to what Jesus wants to do in us, through us, in our families, and our community. Amen. Let's be focused on what God's called us to do. I'm not saying put those things in the rearview and ignore them. No, no. Put your focus on Jesus and watch what he does. When you put your focus on him, he'll give you power to overcome. He'll give you encouragement. He'll give you fullness of joy. See, there is good news. This is what the angel said. There is good news causing great joy for all people. Snap out of it and tap into the joy. Tap into the joy. Yep, all those things may still be there, but let's tap into the joy of the Lord this Christmas season. You know, we're about to celebrate a Savior being born. It says in this scripture that he is the Messiah. The Messiah is the Savior of the world. Aren't you so grateful and so glad that you carry the Savior of the world? If you're a follower of Jesus, you carry the Savior of the world in your heart. We're going to continue on a little bit in the book of Isaiah this morning. And we're going to just look at the prophetic promises that God releases. I want to encourage, why am I doing this? I want you to increase your anticipation as we look towards Christmas Day. Let your spirit be prepared and increase your anticipation for what God wants to do. Isaiah 11:1-10, and it says this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions to the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and he will breathe, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with a goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. I want to encourage you. God's promises, God is faithful to fulfill what he says he's going to do. Why did I read out that whole passage? Read it out for this reason. We need to understand that God is all-powerful. We look at situations, we're like, that situation is too difficult, that situation is too hard. We look at things happening within our workplace, or maybe I need to leave, maybe I need to get another job. No, Jesus, God, all-powerful, has given you abundance, has given you fullness, has given you the answers, has given you the power of the Holy Spirit to pray and speak into the things that happen in your world. How do I know that? Because it says right here that Jesus has been sent to us. It says right here that the promise has risen up amongst us. It says right here that righteousness and faithfulness, says that his reign will be characterized by righteousness and faithfulness. Who's okay with that? Oh, I'm okay with that. See, the promise of peace, the promise of unity in Christ, the promise of righteousness, faithfulness, justice. This is the promise that Jesus is the banner for all people. The nations will rally to him. Amen. See, we anticipate with great hope and celebration of his birth. But let's be clear today. There is a greater advent that I'd like to orientate us towards today. The advent that causes us to hopefully wait, but also co-labor with him in anticipation for his second coming. So the Bible teaches us that he will come again. He will return for all those that call him Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but I'm anticipating. This is my second advent, amen. I'm anticipating the second coming of the Lord. Anyone else? Whether I'm alive or whether I'm one of the first to rise out of the grave, I'll take either, people. I'll take either. I'm okay with it. See, he returns for his people. We'll be with him always. I want to encourage you, don't be caught in 40 years of Advent, 60 years of Advent. Just hope he comes back soon. Maybe I should make a prediction and put it on Facebook. Please don't be that person. Don't get caught up in a lifetime of Advent that just goes, oh, I hope he comes soon. See, we We're committed to a lifetime of commission. If anyone read Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we're caught up in a lifetime of commission and co-labor with the Lord. That's my second advent right there, people. I want to be caught up doing all that I can for the Lord, to raise my family, to love my wife, to love my community, to love my church, to see people succeed in all that God's called them to do and be. See, we fervently anticipate and wait for his return, but with our hearts and our souls, we're living for the mission of God. Why am I talking about this morning? Because tonight, you get an opportunity to outwork that. You get an opportunity to outwork co-laboring, co-commission with the Lord. This is your opportunity to be the hands and feet with all your heart and soul, to love friends and family and community and neighbors that come tonight. You don't need to wait next week. You don't have to wait to get to work. We're doing it tonight. It's happening tonight. And so I want to invite you today to add to your December, add to your Advent season, to initiate sharing the hope of the Savior. Initiate sharing the good news that causes great joy for all people. Do you remember the great joy? Do you remember the great joy when you first met Jesus? Recall that moment of your first love where you first met Jesus. For some of us, it was a while ago. For some of you, it was recent and you're still hyped up on the joy of the Lord. Put your hand up if you can remember the moment that you got saved. Yeah. Put your hand back up if it was just a moment where your life changed forever. Yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember being upstairs in the old Bible college room at the church I was at. I remember the person who was speaking, giving that altar call for salvation. And it was like he was speaking to me. It's like God gave him the inside read on everything that was going on in my life. And at that very moment in time, all I could do was respond with joy in my heart. I remember coming out to the front and being so overwhelmed by the power of God that I dropped to my knees and just cried before God. That all of my sins had been forgiven. My life had been made whole. Anybody else have an experience? Maybe not exactly the same, but a moment where it's like everything changed. Recall the moment of your salvation. Why am I asking you to do that today? Because it's good news that causes great joy in the hearts of all people. We got to pass it on. We got to pass it on. The Savior of the world, the Messiah, is available for people today. You know, may your Advent season be filled with the salvation of people who choose to follow Jesus. May we anticipate his birth and salvation for all of those who are saved by him. Let's just close our eyes for a moment this morning. Lord God. God, we're so grateful that you've called us for this amazing season. So grateful that you called us for such a time as this. God, before we finish this morning, I just want to give everybody the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus personally yet, I want to give you the opportunity to do that so that great joy and freedom can come to your heart too. You know, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a cross to take on the sin of the world so that we could all be forgiven and known by God as sons and daughters. Went to the cross for you, went to the cross for me, went to the cross for all of us. And I want to give you the opportunity today to be known by God. You might be looking at your life thinking, it can't get any worse. Let me tell you, with Jesus, it will get a lot better. You'll no longer be carrying the weight of sin. no longer be carrying the weight of decisions, condemnation. He went to the cross to take all of those things on your behalf. And this morning, I give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. A prayer of calling on the name of the Lord. We're going to confess it with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. But God sent Jesus for your freedom, for your salvation, so that you could be known by Him. Why don't you pray this prayer after me this morning with our eyes closed? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you raised him. Forgive me of my sin. I repent and turn to you. You are the Lord of my life. You are my Savior. For all the days of my life, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.